After this last week of the Holy Spirit conference, I am very, very humbled to be up here tonight because, man, those two gentlemen did such a great job in expressing God's word and how his Holy Spirit works in our lives. It's just, you know, when Pastor asked me to do this, sorry, brother. How do you follow something up like that? I'll start here. If you guys would open your Bibles up to Isaiah 53. And somewhere around here, there she is. I'm going to ask my wife, Sarah, to come on up here. She's going to help me. We want to share a part of our journey, a part of the lessons that we have learned. And, you know, there are times that we still struggle with this in our lives. Over the 4th of July weekend, we had another struggle like this. But we want to talk about forgiveness and healing. And, you know, to start it off is that Sarah and I are complete opposites. I'm introverted. She's extroverted. On the Myers-Briggs test, she results in ENFP. I have no idea what that means. Just bear with me for a second. I am ISTJ. We are complete polar opposites. We never ever, well, hardly ever do we ever see things in the same view. You know, like right now, my notes are typed out and put on my iPad. Her notes are handwritten. We are just completely and totally opposite.
And they're just bullet points. So
yeah, but so, you know, it's just interesting because when I asked her to come up here to speak with me, we were like, okay, let's do this. Well, what are we going to talk about? And I said, you know, forgiveness.
Hold up. So before, like, I agreed to do this. I said, yeah, I'll speak with you. I'll provide the comedy. I'll be the comic relief for,
yeah.
What are we talking about? What are we going to talk about? And I was all excited because I thought, I got this.
Yeah.
And then lays this bomb on me.
Then I shared what I felt like God was calling us to do, and that was forgiveness and healing. And she goes, well, there goes that.
Yeah, there's nothing funny there. I can't.
You know, but when I asked her, I started writing on my notes, and she started writing on hers. When we sat down, I think it was like Wednesday of this last week, to compare notes, again, our complete oppositeness shined. I focused on healing and then forgiveness. She focused on forgiveness and then healing. So tonight might kind of seem like it's kind of scrambled a little bit, but I want you guys to kind of flow with us because for every single person, God's forgiveness and forgiveness in our own lives and healing takes a different path for everybody. And so I'm going to let her share, and then I'm going to share kind of what that path looked like in our lives. But before I do, let's read God's word here. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Now, this is such an immense, powerful passage. And, you know, it's talking about God healing us through that sacrifice that Christ gave on the cross. But we typically apply this to our physical ailments. And rightly that we should. I mean, if we look in the Old Testament, Naaman dipped himself three times in the Jordan River and was healed. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus healing many, many people. And, you know, one of my favorite stories doesn't even involve Jesus. And that's the story of John and Peter walking up to the beautiful gate. And as they're walking up there, there's this crippled man there. And he goes, you know, give me money. And Peter and John are like, we're broke, brother. But what I do have, I give to you freely. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And it was by the power of God that these things happened. And as we focus on, you know, that verse of, and by our wounds we are healed. You know, yes. But, you know, I think that there's times where we kind of neglect something else that God is wanting to heal and touch in our lives. I think that there are times where we forget that God wants to touch and heal not just our physical wounds, but he wants to touch and heal us completely, holistically. You know, that means that he wants access to not just our physical body, but he wants access to our hearts, our souls, and our minds. And because we don't allow him into those deep, dark areas, those inward pains of the past, we tend to hold those hurts and pains for the rest of our life, and they fester, and they build up into who we are.
Apparently I've been festering some things. So, forgive me, I don't preach, so. So yeah, I guess things grow and they fester, and there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we like to, I'm a shover, I'm a pusher, I'm a swallower, I guess I like to ignore things and just assume they're going to go away, la la la.
I think it's called non-confrontational.
Okay, so I don't like conflict. I don't know anybody that loves conflict. I hate conflict. I shy away from it. I don't know that I'm passive aggressive per se, but probably. But anyway, so throughout our journey and everything, we were at a church in Florida several years ago, about 10 years ago, I think, is when this came up. And I was forced to, like, face my past a little bit. And, like, I didn't realize that there was some things that had happened in my past that I didn't remember. And so I went through this journey of, I guess, self-discovery. And I'm not going to get into the details today, but there were some very traumatic experiences that happened as a child that I did not recollect. And they were brought up during this healing journey, I guess. And through those things, I guess there was reasons why I kind of went through my high school and college years very rebellious. I know a lot of you can, I don't know if a lot of you can, you guys are all holy here, but I was very rebellious. And, you know, if it was you could do it, I probably did it. It was pretty bad. And, but I never understood why I did those things. And I, you know, through counseling and things, they said, you know, it was probably a basis of never dealing with what had happened to me. And so I had to deal with all of that. But like I said, I like to be a stuffer. I like to stuff it down so deep I can't even remember it. But so Brian was talking about healing. I'm talking about forgiveness. For me, once those things were brought up, I had to face them and deal with them. And I had to forgive some people. Now, I honestly don't even know who these people are. I don't remember their names. I don't remember their faces. I remember the things that they had done. But I had to forgive them, you know, and I had to, you know, tell God I forgave these people. You know, how do you forgive somebody that you don't even, like, know? I don't know how that works, but I had to forgive them. And for me to move on with my pain and to heal in that process, I had to forgive these people. It was necessary for me. My first step was forgiveness. So I decided to look up the definition of forgiveness in the dictionary, and I was a little mad because all it said was the act of forgiving. I hate when they do those generic. That's like a third grade answer for forgiveness, right? It's the act of forgiving. Or to forgive. That was the other one. So I thought, well, let's see what forgive says. Forgive is, there's a couple of different definitions it gave, and one was to cancel a debt. We're all familiar with, you know, our debt being canceled through the blood of Jesus, and praise the Lord for that. How many of you would like to have your mortgage canceled? Cancel your debt on your mortgage? I know I would. We got two of those, so I would be real happy with either one of those being canceled. Could you imagine the mortgage company coming up, though, and be like, hey, dog, you know, you paid your bill every month. We're just going to go ahead and forgive that. I would freak out. I don't know, but I'm just saying, that would be a wonderful debt to be canceled. Anyway, the other portion of that, the other definition of that was to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or flaw or mistake. And I think that's the one that I struggle with a lot. I think a lot of times I have forgiven people in the past, and I'm like, man, I've forgiven them. I feel like this weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And then I run into them, and I see them, and it all comes back up again, and I'm angry, and I'm resentful, and I'm bitter, and I'm hurt, and I'm mad, and then I probably lash out at Brian because he says something, and I probably lash out because I'm mad, you know, at this person that has offended me, so then I have to forgive him again. And I know Pastor was talking about that this morning, the whole 7 times 70 thing, and I'm like, all right, I'm on 482. Okay, I only got 8 to go. All right, so, you know, it's hard to forgive. We have to continually forgive people sometimes, and, you know, like I said, for me, I had to forgive people that I don't even know exist anymore. So the other person that's hard to forgive, I think, more often than not, is ourselves. Because we know we all make mistakes. I mean, I don't know. Anybody find it easy to forgive yourself? Anybody? You look in the mirror and you're like, hey, I'm sorry.
No, Dustin's yeah, shaking his head.
I know. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You ever self-talk in the mirror? Am I the only one? I seriously talk myself in the mirror. I don't cry. My children, when they were little, would watch themselves cry in the mirror. How many of your kids have done that? Have you seen? They throw a fit and they're crying and they're like, and they're looking. Anyway, so I've talked to myself in the mirror, but I don't apologize because that seems really weird. So anyway, so I have to forgive. Part of the reason why I think it's been so hard, I mean, and these weren't easy things to forgive, let me just tell you. And someday I'll probably share about all that, but some of you know, a lot of you don't, and someday maybe you will. But I think it's harder to forgive somebody that you're going to continually encounter. We continually encounter this one individual in our lives. And Brian was mentioning the 4th of July. That person happened to have been in our lives over that weekend. And, you know, it's just so hard to forgive that person because I feel like she owes me something, that she needs to tell me that she's sorry for what she has put me through. And the truth is, I don't even know if she knows or realizes what she's done to me. But in forgiving people, you know, they're not required. That's not required on their part at all. They're not required to apologize. They're not required to meet any conditions. They just need to be forgiven. And I think for me, forgiveness is more for me than it is for them. And I know it's hard for me to say I'm sorry because I probably don't do it very often. No. Okay. Anyway, I'm almost done. My little notes are almost done. But for me, again, forgiveness led to a lot of healing for me. It's just last week I was just kind of flipping through some different sermons from different people, and one from Stephen Furtick came up from Elevation Church, and he said this quote, and it really, really spoke to me. It said, "What I hide, God cannot heal. I cannot make peace with what I pacify." So for me, that was my struggle, digging it all up, getting it all out of there, putting it out here and saying, this is for you, God, and you get to deal with this. I was trying to deal with it for, you know, 30-some years, but, you know, I had to dig it up, and I had to let God heal that. But if I was unwilling to take it all out and to dig it all up and give it to God, I don't know that I would be. I'm still working through it. I'm not saying I'm completely healed, but I don't think I would be able to stand up here and even talk about it without crying today. So anyway, I think that's about all I had to say about forgiveness and healing. Just that we have to face our issues and we have to bring them up. And that's just my journey. I had to forgive these people in order to see any sort of healing on my part.
Okay, so in my life, some of you know my history. Some of you know the things that have happened to me because I've talked about it here and there. But just to kind of blanket cover everything, my mom was diagnosed with cervical cancer when I just right around the end of my 8th grade year. And I watched her wither away for the next, I'm not getting through this. I watched her wither away for the next 18 months. At the time, man, I just kept plugging away. That life was normal, everything was good, and, you know, I pretended like she was going to be there forever. In the Christmas of my sophomore year, just shortly after that, she passed away. When that happened, I isolated myself. And I just buried everything. I kept it so deep down that when Sarah and I started dating when we got married for the first 7 years. I didn't let her in. I mean, she knew about the past, but I don't think that she understood how angry I was. I was so, so angry. I was angry at my mother for leaving me. I was angry at God for taking her from me. And man, I turned my back. I turned my back so hard on God. But you know, years later, I start looking back and I see that my life was so self-destructive. Even when I had accepted Christ after my mom passed away, I held on to that painful event and I just buried it. And you know, it was that pain, that burden that I had, that anger that I had, it was mine and mine alone, and there was nobody that could help me with it. It was something that I had to do and take care of and deal with on my own. God, Jesus, like I said, Sarah, they weren't even allowed into that little area. Actually, it was kind of like three-quarters of my heart had just blocked off. I held on to this anger and this pain for so incredibly long that, let's be honest, it was almost 20 years after my mom passed before I started dealing with this, before I started recognizing that in order for me to grow in my relationship with God, I had to allow him to heal me. I had to let him in. I had to allow him to break down those walls. And then I had to forgive. I finally allowed Jesus into those deep, dark areas. And man, it just started flooding. Things just started popping up. And you know, it was painful. It was hurtful. Well, let's just kind of give you guys an example here. When my mom did pass away, I didn't cry not one bit. When my grandpa passed away, I think I cried just a little bit. But now you start talking about some orphan, or you start talking about this youth group, or you start talking about these young college-age people, man, my heart pours for you. You guys have it a lot worse than I did. With all the media and stuff like that, you guys are inundated with nasty, worldly stuff all the time. And my heart just pours for you guys. And so there's times where I'm praying and it's waterworks. It just comes out. She's rubbed off on me. But you know, this is the thing, is that in this whole journey, I realized that I had to be healed before I could grow. And you know, that's just exactly what God wanted me to do, is he wanted me to say, God, Jesus, the door is open. Come on in. He was waiting for that invitation. You know, he's called us to lay our burdens at his feet. In 2 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." You know, this includes those deep, dark, hurtful areas in your life. This is the loss of a loved one. This is the hurtful things that friends, coaches, parents, just other people say. This is the hurt of a broken heart from a bad relationship. This is the area that we think that nobody else can see. This is the area that I have to deal with on my own. You know, God is saying, no, no, no. Let me in. Let me heal you. Let's do this together. You know, in Psalm 147:3, the author writes, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You know, that's not a verse for back then. That's a verse for today. We can expect this to happen today. But sometimes we choose to close him out. You know, Pastor Dave was talking about putting him in that little box. Well, when we put him in that box, he can't do the job that he wants to do in every one of our lives. We limit the reach of his power. Yet, when he does come in, when we invite him in into our life and into those hurtful areas, into those places that we've built up walls, his primary goal is to heal us. This isn't physical pains. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It's our spirit. It's our soul. It's our heart that he wants to heal. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Sarah kind of mentioned it very briefly. You know what? It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But it can hamper your growth with Christ. It can hamper your relationship, your walk with him. And you know, it's not going to be joyous to deal with some of this stuff. I mean, I haven't been sitting there going, woohoo, I'm mad at my mom. No, that was a hurtful time in my life. But because I've allowed him to begin that healing process, because I've allowed him to start mending my heart and into those areas that are hurtful, you know what? There's joy on the horizon. There's joy today. And this is where the release came for me. This is where God started saying, okay, now we can start working on other areas like forgiveness. You know, the part of forgiveness for me kind of stems back, Pastor Dave mentioned it this morning. You know, how many times should I forgive my brother? Well, 7 times 70. Oh my goodness, that's 490 times. But you know, the thing that we don't understand is that we put a physical number on that. But when we look at Jewish thought process, big numbers didn't mean a literal thing. It was it's a big number, which means it goes on forever. I mean, really, that's what it was. Is it's not that we have to take it literally. No, Sarah, I'm going to forgive you for 490 times, and then after that, I'm done. No, it's a number that's so large that I have to start thinking about it that I should forgive her for forever, or forgive Kyle forever. That's what I'm called to do. And you know, forgiveness is tricky, because Pastor Dave likes to point out that we each have our own little boo-boos. I actually have one on my ring finger on my right hand.
You should see this Band-Aid. It's fantastic.
Yeah. We only have princess Band-Aids in my house. But you know, God's word, Matthew writes that for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. And you know, Paul writes that let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, it's tricky because I tend to focus on, you know, I get the blinders up and I focus what's on me. I'm self-centered. But God has called us to open our eyes, to take the blinders off, and to see that his plan is bigger. He's asked for us to allow him to open up those doors so that we can forgive. You know, forgiveness comes in all shapes and sizes, all different forms of communication. You know, one of them is face-to-face, which is sometimes hard, but sometimes necessary. You know, Sarah, I forgive you. But there's times where I don't have that option. There's times where, you know, in my case, my mom wasn't there. Now, this is the thing. You say, why would you forgive your mom for passing away from you? And, well, that's a good question, and I'll touch that in a second. But that was the start of my forgiveness, was forgiving my mom. But I couldn't do that because she's not here. I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't face her. So the only thing that I could do was to write a letter. I wrote a letter. First and foremost saying, I'm so mad at you. Leaving. So mad at you. for making me deal with this world on my own. For me, that was the first part of release of that anger that I had. I had to forgive, even though it wasn't totally warranted. My mom didn't do anything wrong. She didn't do anything wrong to me. I mean, that wasn't her choice to, yep, I'm checking out tomorrow. No, that wasn't her choice. You know, the second way forgiveness happens is you know what? I'm just going to skip to this. By forgiving my mother, I started realizing that my anger wasn't with her. It was with myself. Because I had allowed my life to become so destructive, so self-centered. And it wasn't even that it was self-centered. It wasn't even that I was living for myself. I was just in a downward spiral to nowhere. I was literally probably going to kill myself. Not because I was going to shoot myself or anything like that or take any drugs, but just because my lifestyle was dictating that that's the direction that I was headed. It was a one-way ticket to absolutely nowhere. And somehow God brought this into my life and used her to say, whoa, let's slam on the brakes here. I've got a plan for you. But I had to get past all of those hurts and all those pains and everything that I felt had been done to me, that I had felt that was a wrong in my life. And, you know, forgiving myself once I realized that it wasn't my mom that I was mad at, it was myself, was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. Because Sarah can tell you, man, I'm perfect. I don't do anything wrong. There's no reason for me to forgive myself. But in reality, man, I was horrible. And my horribleness towards myself rubbed off on my wife. Not that I was ever physically abusive, but I was emotionally never there for her. Until I allowed God in to heal me and then to say, let's start the forgiveness. You know, Mark Cox, can you start playing some worship music for me here? I don't know everybody's story in here, but I can guarantee you that somewhere in the past, somebody has hurt you. Whether it be, you know, the loss of a loved one, and you're still dealing with that, or it's that you don't understand why girlfriend number one broke up with you, or that mom and dad, they spoke to me and it really hurt because they called me stupid, or they called me worthless, or because in my case, I was told that I would be getting girls pregnant before I was ever married. There's a lot of things that hurt, but we need to step up and allow God in. And so I'm calling for everybody to stand up and to come down to the altar tonight. Because after knowing what the Holy Spirit's going to do for us, I don't want to leave here tonight knowing that somebody has something that could hamper them in their walk with God and that Holy Spirit working in their life. So I'm asking. I can't demand. I can't do this any better than I already am. But I know that there are people that are hurting. And God wants to heal. And He wants to work to get you to the point where you can forgive those who have hurt you in the past. So when I ask for heads to be bowed, if this is you, please come down. I've already kind of talked to the worship team and a few others that they're going to come down and pray with you. And I know that's a little uncomfortable, and you don't have to get personal with them, because I don't need to know, and Pastor John doesn't need to know what's going on in your life, because God already does. The biggest key here is for each and every one of you to be honest with yourself and honest with God that there is something in your life that very well could be blocking the Holy Spirit moving in your life. So I'm going to ask now for you to go ahead and bow your heads. And I'm going to ask that if this is you, if you were just one person, would be honest enough and brave enough, courageous enough to come up to the altar to say, you know what, this is me. There have been things done to me in my past, whether it be by my mother or my father or myself. I'm asking for you to come down to the altar because God wants you to lay this at his feet. God wants you to